with me.
There's something wrong with my doctrine. If you walk out of here without peace in your hearts, if you walk out of here feeling like quarreling, if you walk out of here trying to prove something, trying to whatever, this is the only reason why we're here, and we have repeated this relentlessly, time after time after time. And it isn't enough that you come here and put your gift, or my gift, on this altar here of tradition and automatically expect it to be acceptable. It doesn't work that way. The only thing that is acceptable is what is in my heart. And if there is no peace within my heart, must we not understand, if there is no peace, if there's not the proper peace, the kind of peace, the quality of peace that is required by Almighty God, the angel will pass over us and will ignore us, and we will have no one to blame but ourselves. I'm not preaching this way because I think there has been lack of peace in our family here, not at all. I praise God as I look back over, I think, nearly 18 years in this chapel. And I do believe there has been peace. And as I look around the centers, around and around and around and around, I think this needs to be put in the book of records. 18 years. And that is beautiful. And I think I would like to suggest to you that you thank God for this, because it is indeed a gift that not too many can enjoy or do enjoy. And if you see yourselves walking out and trying to prove this and debate that and ask that and try to settle this and make that be and force this, if you see yourself putting anybody in hell, go into the woods and examine your own conscience first. And if need be, while you are in the woods, you pick up the first stone and throw it at whomever you think deserves to go to hell. I am not God. I do not know what's going on in God's mind, except one thing, and that is peace and charity mixed together. This is our message. You get it in our bulletins week after week after week after week. Our instructions are in our bulletins. Have you ever in our bulletins found printed anything that says that we're right and everybody else is wrong? Has this ever been said? I wouldn't dare make a statement of that sort. But in our bulletins, we try to preach selectively. We try to preach on, my dear people, you and I. Now, I'll put it the other way around. I first, and you, are the most unprofitable servants that could be thought of. Who am I that I should say to God, look to me, O Lord, for the profits that you may gain from what I have to offer? Who am I? Whether I be Pope, or king, a bishop or abbot or peasant. Who am I? And as each one of us approaches to receive our blessed Lord, in the name of God, when he comes into your heart, I ask you to let him find peace there, and love there, and charity there, and compassion there, and calmness there, and serenity there, and humility there, and all of the other virtues. If we cannot give that to him at this time, to whom shall he go? My beloved people, I'm sure that over the past several months, you might have noticed that I am taking little pot shots, maybe not too little sometimes, at our own traditionalist cause. If we're going to criticize anybody, let's start criticizing ourselves first before we criticize anybody else. And I simply put this before you, I am seriously concerned about our own traditionalist survival. Now you can take that or leave it. It ill behooves us to criticize the Novus Ordo and put all of those folks in hell. It ill behooves us to do that unless and until our own house is in order. I mean that. And let us not be too sure that while God, as we insist, has turned his face away from the Novus Ordo people, what makes us so certain that he has not turned his face away from us as well? And the fact that we are here and we're very polite around the altar does not make our gift acceptable. The gift is acceptable only and if there is peace and understanding and compassion and humility and so forth and so forth and all the rest. It is not the catechism that we have to know as such. It is how to use the catechism, how to make me just another degree more acceptable to the everlasting King. I am nobody. And the sooner I come to understand that, the better off I will be. And my position means nothing at all. And we must not be so certain that what we're doing here is for God. Because if there's any of us involved in this, if there's any of me involved, I am doing this because I want a place to go to Mass, because I want my child baptized, because I want my children to go to Mass on Sunday, because I want this, because I want that, because I want the other thing. If that's why we're here, then we're here for all of the wrong reasons. We're here for one reason only, my beloved people. And that is to give worship to God, to give glory to God, to give praise to God. That's all. And if we are here for the purposes of giving praise and honor and glory to God, all of the other things will come to us besides. Remember here some time ago, we complained because the crucifixes had been taken down, making it appear that the crucifixes no longer our book of knowledge. Put a crucifix where you see it all the time. And that crucifix, I promise you, is your book of knowledge. The trouble with us today is this, that in the course of events, it has been now some 40 years, I guess, since all of this disarray has taken place in our church. Most of us, when 40 years ago was here, were either young people who took things rather casually and who walked into change as, well, it's okay, everything's fine, all right, that's just, life has got to go on, life has got to be this, life has got to be that. Or we were children 40 years ago. That's the first generation. Today we're the old folks. Some of us have returned after many years of being away. But we vaguely, if at all, recall the real, honest Catholic experience. We don't really know how to be Catholic. We think that being Catholic is going to Mass on Sunday, not eating meat on Friday, not eating candy during Lent, and saying the rosary umpteen times a day. That's Catholic. That's no more Catholic than Humpty Dumpty. That's all externalism, which means nothing. That's the first generation. The second generation were babies 40 years ago. And I read with some kind of amusement when I hear some certain people say, oh, when I was 7 years old, I knew that something had gone wrong in the church. And that's when I became a traditionalist, when I was 7 years old. Anybody that believes that, just punch one eye out. That is as ridiculous as it can be. 7-year-old children don't have the mental expansion to know these things. They're practically getting, at that time, beginning to understand the difference between right and wrong, and we talk to them of possibly of receiving their first Holy Communion at that ripe old age. This is the second generation, which today is in the 40s to 50s. They do not have a real grasp of Catholic living. And what they have, perhaps, if they have what little they have, they've obtained it from books and pictures and records. I hear this all the time. The first thing that we're asked whenever somebody applies to us for joining the monastery, two things rather. Do you say it in Latin? And do you sing Vespers every day? That's extremely important, don't you know? Do you use the Gregorian chant? This is not where it is. This is nothing. This is all clouds work. And these people, when they want it this way, the first time that God comes and touches them on the shoulder with hardship, with penance, with sickness, with death, with whatever, these are the first ones to fall away and turn their heads away from this unmerciful God whose one purpose in life and existence is to chastise me. What have I done to deserve this kind of punishment from this awful, unmerciful, unthinking God? That's the second generation. The third generation, the teenagers, do I need to go into any kind of description about that? Where is God amongst the teenagers? And while we are busy ourselves in preaching what the priest has to wear at the altar and the prayers he has to say and the language he has to use and whether we have a pope or don't have a pope or have a bishop or don't have a bishop or whatever, what are our kids saying? Our kids are saying, there is no God. Are they not? If I'm wrong in this, please stand up and say, Father, you're full of prunes. There's something wrong with our system. That's the third generation. And the fourth generation, the little teensy babies, are those that are yet in the mind of God. What hope is there for them? It is time, my beloved people, to put our perspective and focus in on the reality of things. And let us put aside the romance of what we think. There is no romance in the kind of life that I myself as an individual has had to lead for the last 25 years. No romance. It is an ugly, it is a tiresome, it is a heartbreaking reality. And I see people all around me that are dying of religious starvation. And what are we doing about it as traditionalists? Nothing. Except putting censures on them and telling them where they are wrong and reminding them that if they don't straighten up, they're going to hell. You know, we need to look and our blessed Savior himself. And we need to go to Scripture. And every place that in the New Testament, the Gospels, we find the Gospel story telling us about the scribes and the Pharisees and how the scribes and the Pharisees react. If you want to play a little game, every place, go back and read it, and every place that the word scribe or Pharisee appears, take that word out. And in its place, insert the word traditionalist. And you what? Know what? You will be amazed at how well that word fits in that place. You remember when our Lord went into the houses of those to have a banquet with them? And how a certain woman came and washed his feet and anointed them. That's unimportant. The important thing is this. What was going on in the minds of the Pharisees that were looking, who were taking all this in? Here was the master. Here was the one who was providing that which they were afraid of. And here he was reclining, because they reclined the table. And this prostitute comes in, because she was a prostitute, and one of quite a bit of fame. And what went on in their minds? If he only knew the kind of person that is touching him, you know that story. If he only knew, how many times have we not said the same kind of thing? If we only knew the kind of sinner, I would have nothing to do with that person. Because that person is a sinner. My beloved people, I'm getting older by the minute. I'm beginning to look like Santa Claus. But unless and until we get our own house in order, let us leave everybody else alone. That's where we are. I'm going to make a prediction. I hope I'm wrong, and you must pray that I'm wrong in this. You must offer the strongest prayers you can possibly offer up to God that I am wrong. But from where I am, from where we are, and from what we see as coming from our supposed Roman Catholic traditional leaders, from where we are and from what we see, in 5 years, this would all be over. Within 5 years. The former cardinal of the city of Chicago some years ago was asked, "Cardinal, what are you going to do about all these crazy traditionalists that are running around?" What was his answer? "Nothing. Why should I do anything to put them out of business? Why should I waste my time to put them out of business? They're doing it to themselves. They are destroying themselves systematically." We've got, I think, 6 or 7 or 8, I don't know, popes nowadays. Each one saying, "If you don't belong to my popery, you're going to hell. If you don't belong to my popery, you're going to hell. If you don't belong to my popery, you're going to hell." And everybody's going to hell except the few that come to my popery. Now, my dear people, are we intelligent or are we not? And each pope in his own precinct is putting everybody else in hell that doesn't come into his precinct. And where do we get our strength from in the monastery up there? By the grace of God, we don't belong to any precinct. We belong to God's precinct. And I pray that we shall stay in that particular precinct. And if anybody has a problem with that, so be it. And that is that. I'm getting more crotchety with every new day. Because when I see all of this tomfoolery, this circus, this burlesque that's going around in the name of this right here, we're using this to draw people to come into our own burlesque show. And as long as that is happening, this itself will be our own condemnation. You come here for that which is going to take place on there, and you give praise and honor to God. All other items and considerations to the contrary, out the window must they go. I'm getting old. Time is drawing near. And we hear all kinds of things that are to come. You're going to start seeing some of those things in the bulletins coming up about preparations for whatever. We have got to keep in mind the so-called third millennium. Are we going to go and look forward to grasping what is there for the salvation of those people? Are we going to look forward, or are we going to go back to the ancient ways and the ancient traditions, the nostalgic things, the antique things that have long been sent to the graveyard? Nowadays, there's a new society out that's going out, and they've gone pre-Trent. They've gone back 500 years to the time before the Council of Trent. Now, if this is answering today's problems, then I'm Humpty Dumpty. The church is, and that's going to start coming out from our little wavelengths too, and you can quote me. I don't care anything I say. Besides that, it's on tape and it's distributed. This is on tape. The church is never again going to be like it once was. That is gone with the wind. And for anybody to say we're going to restore all things in Christ, don't believe it. It cannot happen. You become so involved in the restoration. And when you do restore things, you usually go into the trunks and you get everything out of mothballs. We're not looking for mothball stuff anymore. We're looking for that which is going to save souls. Mothballs, to the contrary, notwithstanding. I'm serious, I'm scared. And I'm trying to get you scared. And I'm trying to get you to see reality and get out of this stupid romance of I shall restore all things in Christ. The best we've got, we're at a dance hall. As if that's got anything to do with it. He was in a stable. The best that we can do is to hang on for dear life, not to the church that once was, but to the religion that we believe in. And let us make sure we understand what that religion is. It isn't debating. It isn't proving. It isn't condemning. It's simply living a life of penance, mortification, sacrifice, charity, and love. I remember my old days when the little old ladies used to come to church and all they had, and in those days they used to wrap up in shawls, you remember? Everybody wore shawls, except the hoi polloi, and they wore fancy hats that got in everybody's way. The little old ladies, they didn't have any prayer books. They didn't have any missals. They didn't have any documents when they came to church. What did they have? A very worn out looking rosary. They didn't know how to say the rosary. They didn't know anything about the mysteries of the rosary. They didn't know the first thing about it. They didn't know the glorious mysteries from the sorrowful mysteries from the joyful. They were just saying the rosary, however they said it. They didn't know anything about meditating. And we're so highfalutin today in our computerized age, it's a miracle we don't carry a computer with us whenever we say the rosary and have the computer do all of the thinking for us. But you want to know something? Those little old ladies, that's the group that God picked his saints from. And when they went to communion, their faces were never made up with fancy paints and all that stuff, the little black veils usually. And they gave you a face that you placed the host upon the tongue. And there was something serene, something blessed, something beautiful and calm and reverent about those little old people. The men, I can't say as much about the men. The men have always been ornery. But the little old ladies probably prayed their men into heaven. That's Catholic living. It is carrying with you when you go home that which you receive from this altar. Peace, charity, understanding, reverence, holiness, purity, honesty, etc., and all the rest. And this goes with you throughout the week. I know I've spoken an awful long time, and I don't really care. Because some things are going to have to be said, and all of us are going to have to listen. And we have to understand that it is not in all of this hoop-de-doo that we call religious living today, which is not at all religious living, but it is in the conversion of hearts. What does Saint Benedict say in the first opening words of his rule? And with the ears of your hearts, with the ears of your hearts, listen to the precepts of the Master. This is what I'm after, my beloved people. All this other stuff means nothing. What part of nothing do we not understand? And if at times we think Almighty God has turned his face away from us, let us not condemn God for that. Let us rather turn into our own selves and examine our own consciences to see what we are doing to cause him to turn away from us. I am here myself, I speak for me, and I think I can speak for those other men and women up there in Kaufman. The only reason why we are enduring this penance, this suffering, that we are having to go through day in and day out, morning, noon, and night, at dinner time, at supper time, and at breakfast time. The only reason is to be able to give praise to God and to simply say to God, morning, noon, and night, my Lord, my God, and my all.